into the stories that I have for you guys today. Let's get through the station ID and we will begin soon. Here we go.
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. Nisiam Nisiaya, Thikum Queen Ansep, Hydra CM, Nisiam Nisiaya,
and the Skakuya, Talitin, Homasqueam, Mustayo. All right, and we are back. Let's get right into it. I'm excited for this episode. Do you guys want to introduce your guys' name, maybe, and then what you guys do? Just a brief introduction.
What's up, everybody? My name is Mark, and I am a freshly graduated psychology major at UBC.
Hello, everyone. Good afternoon. My name's Matthew. I'm very much looking forward to our conversation today. I'm going to third year in the acting program here at UBC.
Thank you, Mark and Matthew, for coming on my show. It's going to be a nice episode. Matthew, is this your first time on the radio? I'm not quite sure.
Yes, it was okay. My first time ever.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Jeff, and welcome back to another episode of Lean In With Jeff. It seems like one of my previous episodes were playing a couple seconds ago. If you are interested and are curious about that episode specifically, you can always go to citr.ca, type in my name Jeff or my show name, Lean In With Jeff, and search it up. It'll be the episode that happened on July 16th. I hope everyone is having a wonderful Tuesday afternoon. It is currently reading break for us, at least, at UBC. I don't know for other institutions. I know that Toronto has a slightly different schedule, but we are actually on reading break right now. I hope everyone is using this time to rest up, you know, do something fun and hanging out with some friends and family. Unfortunately, though, we only have till tomorrow, I believe, for the break, so we will be back on Thursday, you know, which is good, and I guess some students need a couple more days to rest, but either way, we have three wonderful days to use up, and I hope that is good for you guys, and I hope to see you all back on Thursday. The weather lately has been up and down. You know, there's a little bit of rain here, a little bit of sunlight there. Today was actually very rainy in the beginning of the day, but it seems like there was a little bit of sun that came out about an hour or two ago, but it seems like it's gloomy again right now. But either way, I hope everyone is doing great. We have less than a month of classes now, and then finals will roll around, and we are almost done with the semester. So I hope everyone is doing well. I hope you guys persevere through this process because Christmas is coming up soon. So we should all get into, you know, that Christmassy happy spirit, I guess. For today's episode, I will be doing a movie review. I will be reviewing the movie Shallow Hal. It is a very, very comedic rom-com. I'm back with these rom-coms. You know, I love rom-coms. I haven't been looking too much through this genre lately. I've been exploring some other genres like drama, some thriller here and there. So maybe I'll transition a bit with the movie reviews in terms of genre. But today I'll be reviewing Shallow Hal. And then I have a wonderful band that I want to introduce you guys to, which I'll also be playing some songs from them as well. And we will wrap up our show here. I also want to mention thank you everyone at CITR and Discorder, staff, execs, volunteers. Thank you all. And I think that everyone should be thanking them and appreciating them for all the work that's been going on for Shindig, Battle of Bands. For those of you who do not know, Shindig is one of our biggest events held at CITR and Discorder, where we hold a music competition, essentially, for 16 bands. It goes on for about 5 weeks, the final week being a finale, choosing the winner. So the first night has just finished up last Tuesday night, and tonight actually, at Redgate Art Society, I believe at 8 p.m. will be the second night for Shindig Battle of Bands 2024. Please go ahead and show some love. And honestly, it's a very fun event as well. If you are interested in meeting some people, meeting the community members at CITR, or just enjoy listening to live music, it is the perfect event for you. So please go ahead. It's Redgate Art Society. That is the venue in Vancouver. And go check it out for tonight's event. I believe it's going to be very nice. But if you do miss it tonight, we are doing it again next week and the week after it. And then I believe until the first week of December. So you have a couple weeks to pop in and see what's going on. So, you know, I hope you guys go and have some fun. We also have some other events coming up as well. So please stay tuned with CITR and Disorder, what we do, and the events we are going to hold soon. And if you are interested in being involved with CITR and Disorder, we do tours every weekday at noon. So just pop in when you can. If that time doesn't work for you, we can always arrange an alternative time for you all. We also hold trainings that I personally train as well for students or community members that are interested in radio production and starting your own live show. So if you're interested in it, please come on in and we can get it all started. All right, so before we get into the meat and potatoes of the show today, why don't we get through some ads, PSAs, and some show promos and get right into the episode. So here we go. I'll see you guys in a couple minutes.
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. Nisiyam, Nisiyaya, Thikum Queen Ansep, Hydra CM, Nisiyam, Nisiyaya, Anthas Yakhuya, Talit Sin, Homasque Mustail.
Knock, knock. Guess who? MRG Live coming right back at you. This time with a whole new list of upcoming live shows by your favorite artists. Hear this. Marika Hackman, Faye Webster, Empress of, Peter Cat Recording Co., and The Rare Occasions are a few of the artists MRG Live is bringing to you. Follow at MRG Live Official on Instagram to stay tuned with all the artists performing near you.
What a lovely Vancouver summer night. I can't wait to sit by myself at the beach and look at my phone. Huh? What's that?
Man, what are you doing? Get over here and come jam.
Wow, what a lovely assortment of musicians. What are you guys doing?
This is E-Studio. We come together and build connections over music. No musical experience needed. Just come socialize and build your confidence playing music if that's your thing.
Wow, this is so awesome. Now I have a real-life connections with Vancouver's international community of musicians and creatives. Thank you, E-Studio. E-Studio is an international jam group where we celebrate music from all around the world and play together. Follow us on Instagram at estudio.cafe. estudio.cafe.
Sono rimasti contenti della cena, te lo voglio dire perché mi è stato detto in una maniera molto bella. Vabbè? Tu come stai? Va bene, io speravo di trovarti. Vabbè, ciao. Doriano, ho telefonato per sapere come state. Ciao.
On January 17th, CITR 101.9 FM presents our annual 24 hours of radio art programming, featuring innovative approaches to music and sound.
Doriano, è venuto Dario e Liliano.
It's 24 hours of spoken word, ambient, drone, field recordings and sound walks, collage, technical support calls, voicemail fails, sound art, and noise.
Niente, 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 niente.
Listen live on CITR 101.9 FM or online at CITR.ca.
What do you love, and what do you love about it? My name is Ewan, and with I Love You Hour, I want to know. Come join me bi-weekly Tuesdays at 6 p.m. to discuss music and the stories we connect to it, either in person, on the phone, or through messages at I Love You Hour on Instagram. That's I-L-U-V-U Hour on Instagram, or through email at iluvhour@gmail.com. If you love sharing music and telling stories, listen to I Love You Hour bi-weekly at CITR 101.9. And remember, I love you.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Jeff, and welcome back to another episode of Lean In with Jeff. For today's episode, I will be reviewing the rom-com Shallow Hal. I'm not sure if you guys have heard of this movie. If you haven't, I would say check it out. It's actually very funny, but why don't we get into it? So Shallow Hal is a romantic comedy movie that explores the theme of beauty, perception, and personal growth, especially through the protagonist, who is played by Jack Black. He is very, very shallow. You know, his name is Hal Larson. Very shallow in terms of the woman he engages with or the woman he's attracted to and the woman that he only kind of perceives as like a woman, almost, his type, I guess. He's very shallow because he fails to see or fails to explore beyond the concept of beauty outside of physical appearance. And there's no depth at all that he looks for within a person. He kind of checks them off depending on whether there is type through pure physical appearance. And so the film takes on the challenge of addressing societal beauty standards while maintaining a very comedic tone. You know, there are scenes, Jack Black is very shallow in the beginning, but as the movie progresses, he kind of gets into, he's almost possessed in a good way with this spell that I'll get into a bit more later, that prevents him from seeing in a very shallow lens and helps him focus more on the inner beauty of people. And so it's very interesting to see two scenes, because that's how the movie progresses, is you see the way that Jack Black or Hal sees the people around him. But as an audience, there's also a scene that portrays how the people are actually, you know, the way that they're actually perceived. So throughout the movie, it's a very nuanced commentary on the superficiality of modern dating, modern dating culture and the transformative power of genuine connection. And so at the core of the film, Hal is revolved around portraying, you know, his false and narrow sense of what beauty is. And so the whole movie just revolves around his own character development of fixing the way that he sees not only women, I don't think, but people in general. And so recognizing and appreciating the character of someone and the inner depths of what makes, you know, someone themselves. And so in the opening scene where young Hal, he's like a kid or something, he receives a very misguided advice from his father, who is about to pass away. And I believe it goes along the lines of to never settle for average something. And that kind of sets off a mentality for Hal in the way that he sees people. And so that's kind of the beginning, the story arc, the origin of this story arc of how he became shallow Hal. And so the film's premise hinges on this chance encounter of Hal engaging with Tony Robbins, who actually plays Tony Robbins in the movie, who's actually a motivational speaker. And this choice of casting Tony Robbins as Tony Robbins adds a very interesting layer of authenticity to the scene whilst blurring the lines between fiction and reality. And I really love this about movies, is how movies tend to be very fictional in the ways, you know, the characters are created or the way that the story is progressed. And I think by adding in real life people with their actual occupations and their professions creates a very realistic manner of how we perceive that specific movie. And I think the whole, you know, because every movie has their own way of portraying a sense of message. And I think the message in the movie really does touch a bit deeper because of this casting choice. And we can kind of see that throughout the movie. So from that point on, with Hal and his encounter with Tony, the film employs a very clever visual dichotomy where shallow Hal idealized the view of people and their actual appearances, showing both how he idealized people and then their actual appearances, which I actually mentioned a couple of minutes ago, of how we see the actual appearances of people, but also the way that Hal sees the same people. So it's like two perspectives throughout, you know, jumping back and forth throughout the movie. So this dual perspective not only serves as a source of humor because, you know, sometimes because Hal is almost blinded by the true reality of what people actually look like, you know, as the audience, we kind of know something that Hal doesn't know. And so I think that aspect, it does kind of create some sort of comedy because he's almost behaving in a way that we know wouldn't be accurate if he knew what that person looked like, considering and recognizing the way that Hal's character is built or is created. And so he encounters the female protagonist, Rosemary, and the character Rosemary, who's played by Gwyneth Paltrow, is very central to the film's exploration of beauty and self-worth. So Paltrow's performance is amazing because, it contains that duality, because there's the audience who sees Paltrow's character as the true form or the true appearance, yet shallow Hal doesn't really quite see it in the same visual appearance. And so transitioning between, you know, the confidence, vicacious woman that Hal sees compared to the actually insecure and self-conscious individual struggling with societal judgment that, you know, she kind of portrays as well. So in the audience's perspective, we kind of see the true nature of what Paltrow's character is actually like, whereas Hal is struggling to understand that truth within her, because you can clearly see that through Paltrow's dialogue, where she's very hesitant and she doesn't understand the attention and the fascination that Hal has towards her, because in truth she's very self-conscious and insecure about herself. And so there's a very interesting dynamic between the two in the beginning. And through that, Hal kind of learns his way, or it almost forces him to engage with genuine dialogue with someone that he struggled to do because of his shallow perspective. And so I think that one of the most powerful scenes that occurred in the movie is when Hal sees Rosemary's true appearance for the first time. And I think when he does, it was at the restaurant. So Tony actually put some sort of spell. So it's a very interesting movie because it deals with the reality of actual characters whilst having the fictional aspect of, you know, the story arc and the whole idea of shallow Hal and his character. Yet it also has a very fantastical element to it, because Tony casts some sort of spell on him that prevents him from being shallow Hal. And so there's a specific word that Hal needs to hear for him to break the spell. And I think Hal, his best friend, I forgot his name, but he actually, towards the end of the movie, tells Hal that's that word or phrase that breaks the spell. And then it was at a restaurant, they were on a date, and then as soon as he hears the spell, he sees her for the first time. And the moment is actually handled with an unexpected sensitivity, which kind of expected a shock almost, because of how we all, you know, knew shallow Hal as a character and, you know, who he is. And so I think this whole scene really, I mean, Jack Black did an amazing job with his performance, particularly in the way that he conveyed the whole complex mix of emotions that speaks to Hal's growth as a character. And so it's a very interesting scene where he's almost going back and forth with, you know, loving Rosemary as a person, and then he's, because, you know, the spell is up, he kind of goes back to his initial sense of, you know, being very shallow and, you know, not accepting or recognizing people for who they are, and just, you know, judging them by how they look. And so I think this scene, the power really lies not in its visual reveal, but in the emotional weight of Hal's realization that his feelings for Rosemary transcend physical appearance. And so it's more so about the realization that we kind of see, and everything that shallow Hal learned throughout the film of who Rosemary is, and the way that he connects deeper, you know, going through all that dialogue and, you know, how their relationship grew, and then connecting that to his initial self with who he was and what he valued and prioritized. And so that whole mixture is coming into one moment. I think the scene really does capture, which is why I think it's a very pivotal scene to see shallow Hal as a character who really did go through character development. Shallow Hal does employ a very various amount of cinematic techniques to reinforce the themes of, you know, beauty and like inner beauty, and, you know, stereotypical perception and all that sort of stuff. And so the use of contrast in visual aesthetics between Hal's perception and the reality is kind of the key point in the movie, because we get to see not only Shalohel's character development, but through his eyes, we can see, you know, the truth behind who he is and, you know, what he's going through. And so we have like this double perception that we go through the whole movie, which makes it more entertaining. It's not like we only know one perspective, but we know as the audience what the people around him perceive and see people while seeing, you know, Hal and the way he sees people. And so the scenes that are viewed through Hal's eyes are, you know, very warm. It becomes very warm, you know, flattering with light, while the real world is presented in a more stark, realistic manner. And so once again, you know, this visual aspect extends to the film's production and design with, you know, locations and costumes that are very carefully chosen to emphasize the disparity between appearance and reality. I think the film, the choice of secondary characters are very, very fantastic chosen as well, because it really enriches the themes as well. For example, the characters like Katrina, who's, you know, the superficially beautiful but internally ugly nurse, serve to challenge the audience's assumptions about the correlation between physical beauty and moral character. And obviously, you know, while watching the movie, I do think that there is, you know, an aspect of, you know, superficiality with the way that, you know, characters are portrayed. But I think that whole idea of over-exaggeration of those superficious elements are kind of what makes the movie so explicit with what the message is. And so in a way, it was done through purpose, I believe. So I don't think I had too much trouble with it. But obviously, if you do, then I guess in a way, I think it's nice to think about that, you know, that whole over-exaggeration was done with the purpose of making the message a bit more explicitly known. And so, you know, through these characters, it really adds more depth to the way that the characters are driven through the movie, and how Shalohal learns from it, and even the way that Shalohal engages with these people, there's also that element of shock between the people around him, and so it's, you can almost see the movie as just a whole blob of confusion, because Shalohal is seeing things that others don't, but Shalohal doesn't even know that. And so the audience, and including, you know, the people around him in the film, are just confused. Shalohal is confused. And so it's a very entertaining movie to watch while, you know, just thinking about how Hal is just going to continue on with the film. And then at the end, it's a very nice wrapping up. I think the ending was great, where everything just came out raw and real with the truth. And, you know, Hal accepting Rosemary for who she is, despite whether, you know, it's inside or out. Because it really is beautiful to see Hal's transition from being shallow to, you know, being able to appreciate people for who they are, and actually taking the time to know someone. So, yeah, I think, you know, if you guys are interested in some comedy and some romance, this would be a good, easygoing movie to watch. It's a very interesting movie. I don't think it has too much complexity within, you know, the plot line. It's quite simple. It really just is emphasizing on the message of recognizing inner beauty, but also the definition of beauty itself. You know, how it's not centered around physical appearance, but it's a much more broader concept. And how, you know, people like Shalohal that, you know, perceive beauty as just one thing. It's just not a very accurate representation of what it is. And so I think it really does touch upon a much broader aspect of what beauty is and exploring those. And so if you are interested in that at all, please go ahead and check out the movie. If you are interested in diving deeper into this specific movie or even any rom-com at all, feel free to call the number 604 822-2487, and you can call directly to the station at the time slot that I'm in, and we can have a wonderful conversation about it. I hope you guys call in. It seems like many of you are either hesitant to call or don't know, but you know, just to let you know, double check, triple check, quadruple checking, you know, all the time for me. I do love engaging with my audience members, and so feel free to call in whenever you'd like, and I will be ready to engage with some deep conversations. All right, so that's it for today's movie review. We are going to go into the second portion of the episode, which is listening to some songs that I have prepared for you all. It is actually a song from the band The Prairie Joggers. The album is going to be Weight of It, and the first song is going to be called Runner. I hope you guys enjoy this song, and I will see you all in a couple minutes. So here we go.
Where did all the love go? Day is done, night grows like it never ends. Leaves the back light on when she wants some. He waits with his collar on. Her gaze makes his head spin. Lost love, must have had a twin. Time's a little brittle, be gentle, better never let it go. Born and raised in Memphis, eccentric, life tuned to the blues. In the neon, bright lights, summer heat makes your body move. He was pretty, pretty Mississippi. Heartbeats dance by the muddy stream. Makes a high living, fast love, flying by like the honeymoon. Cold feet on the southern shore, she's free. Took his money and his mind. Up and gone, let her run. Don't think she don't want.
That was Runner by the Prairie Joggers. It's a very fast-paced song, so I hope you guys kept up with that pace. But it's very, very exciting. You know, I think those songs are kind of nice to hear when you want to dance or, you know, get an upbeat spirit. But here is the next song called Do You Need Me? I hope you guys enjoy.
Do you need me, honey? Do you?
retribution has won with the smoke in my lung. Pretty thin fucking plot without any twist. Do you need me, honey? Do you need me? Do you need me, honey? Do you need me? Oh, hey, hey, hey. I still wonder. Hey, hey, hey. I still wonder.
That was Do You Need Me by the Prairie Joggers. For those of you who are wondering, you know, where you can find their songs, it is on YouTube. I believe it's on Spotify as well. And the songs that I'm playing it from, it is the album called Weight of It. And the next song is actually called Weight of It. So I hope you guys enjoy this song. I will see you all in a couple seconds, so here we go.
Hey, mama, ain't like it used to be. And I'm too kind, nothing like you to see. Pray that on up just to shoot that yellow dog. All these years just to figure out. Now you know, tread light with the weight of it. Find him sitting, picking at the cherry tree, saying these crickets louder than they used to be. Heat on running, stopping that. Yeah.
That was The Weight of It, or it's not The Weight of It, it's actually called Weight of It. The next song I have for you guys is called Holding Me Down. So I hope you guys enjoy this song. Here we go. That was Holding Me Down by the Prairie Joggers. The next song I have for you guys is called Moonlit Road. This will be the last song that I'll be turning on for you guys. But when we come back, I will be coming back with some fun facts. So here we go.
Wake up with my eyes on the bathtub floor, water splashing my back, remember nothing before. Lift my head up, peer out the door, eyes crawl up the hallway floor to the place that I go when my body is sore. Late at night, pass away once more to the place I go when my thoughts are alone. Please, I'm up and send them out. Thank you.
That was Moonlit Road by the Prairie Joggers. I hope you guys enjoyed the songs that I put up for you guys. Make sure to go check them out. The Prairie Joggers and the album that I played for you guys today is called Weight of It. So why don't we get into the last portion of the song or the episode and go through the fun facts before we wrap everything up. So for today's fun fact, we're going to start with the oldest known musical instrument is 50,000 years old. That is insane. Whenever I read fun facts about this, I always get to question how and what method is used to calculate the age of an object. I'm always curious about this. If you have an answer, I'm more than welcome to invite you on my show, or even you can call the number 604-822-2487 and give me an answer, because I genuinely do not know how this would be answered. The next one is that plants can grow faster if music is playing. I think I've heard of this one before, and I'm sure you all have too. Apparently, classic music promotes seed germination. It increases stress tolerance. That's pretty interesting. I'm reading this off of Trolla.com, and that is, I mean, I guess it does. It's just plants need to grow in a specific environment with, you know, water and sunlight. So I don't know if there's a specific way that the music needs to be put out for these plants, whether it's through a speaker or whether the volume is important. But yeah, I guess plants grow faster with music playing in the background. The next one is the world's longest musical performance is actually taking place right now. That's insane. They have been holding a performance since 2001 in Halberstadt, Germany for, I think it's called Organ 2 ASLS. I'm not sure about these performances, but apparently they expect to finish the 8th page score in 2640, 639 years after the first chord was played. That's insane. I don't even quite understand what this performance is, but apparently there is a musical performance that is going on till today, right now. So I think that's pretty interesting. The last fun fact that I would like to share for you all is... oh, here's an interesting one. A Canadian astronaut released an album of songs all recorded in space. Interesting. I don't know if they played the instruments in space, but oh, I see. Apparently they just kind of used the quiet environment of space and they created albums and songs. I guess when you're up in space, it's almost horrifyingly quiet. So I guess it's a great way to use that environment as a studio. But that's it for my episode today. I hope you guys enjoyed that. I will be back next week once again with another episode. Actually, I do want to say this week I'm actually going to be doing another episode on Thursday from 11 to noon. So please stay tuned. It'll be actually a movie review with a friend of mine, and I'm sure you guys are going to love it because I think she has some great, great insights. So please stay tuned Thursday, 11 a.m. to noon. Thank you for listening, everyone. As always, I hope you guys have a marvelous rest of the afternoon, and I will see you all next week. Bye-bye, everyone.
For myself, I've always traveled economy, and I don't mind being in the middle seat if I can have this like wondrous resort 5-star hotel.
Same. I think I'd take the hotel, man, because I think, like, if it's, like, a two-star hotel, like, I'd rather, like, the latter part of my trip be nicer than the first part of my trip be nicer, right? Because then it's, like, kind of like you're downgrading, and then I don't want to sleep with, like, cockroaches and mice running around when I was previously on a plane eating sashimi and, like, laying down on, like, white bed sheets, right? So, yeah.
No, I choose the five-star hotel as well. I think I would rather prefer, you know, the majority of my portion of the trip be better. But yeah, the next one is, would you rather do a shark cage dive with great whites or skydive?
I would say skydive. I've always thought about skydiving and I don't know. Is it statistically safer than jumping into a shark? I don't know.
I mean, you're in a cage, so I don't know if it's that likely for a great white. And I don't think great whites are as aggressive as we think they are, I'm assuming.
Okay.
Because they can't see. And unless you're spilling blood somewhere around your body, they probably just chilling.
I see.
I mean, I think I'd probably do the great white thing just because I'm scared of heights. And I don't I don't like the feeling of falling.
Oh, I love it.
I hate the feeling of falling. It doesn't feel good.
But it feels like flying for a moment.
It does.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, but then after that moment, you're kind of just dying. I feel my fat, like, holding, like, it's, like, bracing itself in the air.
It'd also be shorter, right? Like, skydiving is not that long, while as, like, diving into great white. I don't know. Which one would be a longer experience?
Well, you know what? Cage dive, 5 minutes. Skydive, 2 minutes.
Skydive.
Right, but cage dive, you just have to like survive, you know what I'm saying? You just have to like chill in there. But skydiving, there's actually like a skill involved. You have to like start parachuting after too and like have the correct landing, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
that's true.
All right, last one is, would you rather go on an epic trip where lots of things go wrong or a boring trip where nothing goes wrong?
I mean, just for the experience, I think a long trip where a lot of things, I mean, I will say traveling definitely gets very tiring and can bring out, like you were saying, how Mark was saying how the heat brings out aggression. I feel like long periods of travel naturally brings out the dark side of people and sometimes, but I would still stick to a long trip where lots of things happen.
Yeah, I agree. I think I'd stick with the epic trip where a lot of bad things happen just because I think a short, boring trip where everything goes wrong, I just wouldn't even call that a trip anymore. You know, I just call it, it's like a walk in the park. So I go for the epic trip.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for coming on my show. I hope you guys had some fun. Next week, we have some other guests coming on. So please be excited for those. I hope you guys both have a great rest of the summer. And you know what? If you guys have the time, please come back. And we'll do another discussion.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having us. Thanks for leaning with me.
All right. This was Leaning with Jeff. I hope you guys have a wonderful rest of the afternoon. And I will see you all next week. Bye-bye, everyone.
You are currently hearing might be the result of the Audio Phenomenon Project. This is Purple Crow on CITR 101.9 FM.
I've been holding on to the dream you left behind. It's always on my mind because you're always on my mind. You're always on my mind. You're always on my mind. I've been sleeping easier. Your colors ran with time. I'm free from all your lies. But you're always on.
I'm Walter Cronkite. I'd like you to hear something. They're radio fans, amateurs, giving of their own time and spending their own money.
CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
Your volunteer-run station.
They're just two average guys who saw the need and volunteered.
Noise that we call music, but your parents just call noise. This is Rupert Lally, and you are listening to University of British Columbia Radio, CITR FM 101.9 Vancouver, and on the web at citr.ca.